The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I am. I have a lot of things to talk about today. Actually, that happens particularly after I've been listening and researching and attending and doing things like that. But things jump into my head, and particularly when I think that they're relevant relative to everything that happens to all of us. And, you know, everybody thinks, well, there's a progression that is taking place. What do I mean by that? I'm talking in circles? Not really. You know, when you think about the last several years and, you know, suddenly the great amount of different types of drugs that are out there and vaccinations and things of that nature, and we're seeing symptoms. But what I want you to know is that even before COVID, even before the vaccines, even before the booster shots, even before now with Pfizer coming up with this other new drug and things that were there before, there was a progression that was taking place in healthcare. And one was that very sad and addictive and destructive and killing people. And it's gone to a social setting that means that, you know, without prescriptions, it means it's illegal. And so we're going to tie all these pieces together. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the use of certain narcotics called opioids. This country, the United States of America, is the number one abuser of opioids in the world, on the planet. That's right, on the planet. And people are dying by droves. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to pick it apart. We're going to look at an analysis going back to 1912 all the way forward. Excuse me, 1912. Forgive me, 2012. That's my old brain kicking in. And going forward till now, and we're going to talk about what an opioid really is. You know, where this really came about, many of you know that I recently had a little snip and tuck because of, you know, some problems I've had for multiple years. But what is really interesting is that here I am, a natural healthcare practitioner, and I don't take medications of any kind. I'm not on any statins. I don't take any blood pressure medication. I take really good care of my physiological being. And the truth of it is that over 45 years of clinical practice and then professional school and so forth, if I had taken maybe a dozen, and I mean a dozen, 12 NSAIDs in the form of Advil, that was a lot. And I'm sharing things with you right now that I normally won't share with anyone, but I want you to know what really is laying there in front of you, and we have to be careful of. But anyway, you know, when you talk about opioids and what they really are, you know, we're looking at a lot of different types of medications. But the problem is that there's an impact because now they push us into an illegal situation. You know, is this country into an opioid problem? Well, when you start looking at the numbers I'm going to share with you today, you're going to sit back and say, oh, my God. So the overuse of prescription opioids for acute and chronic pain is on the increase dramatically, and it's shifting to other drugs in the marketplace, illegal drugs. So we're talking about heroin, we're talking about fentanyl, which we know is a synthetic opioid, and it's destroying humanity. In my opinion, it's taking us apart piece by piece by piece. And many of you, you know, then start calming down and you go into a different place, meaning you're using other drugs and other medications to balance that out, when there's so much more that can be done. But we're going to take you through it, and I'm going to show you why this is a problem, and then we're going to talk about what you really can do to make a difference if you're stuck on any of these things. I want to go back to that personal experience I had in June. And after this little surgical intervention that I had, the doctor who I handpicked was probably the best in the country of what he was doing, and after surgery comes in, he says, you know, how are you feeling? And I said, you know, I'm doing well. And, you know, I truly was. So I have no idea what they gave me during the surgical procedure. But afterwards, you know, I'm handed a prescription for a very heavy narcotic, and it's called oxycodone. But I don't take drugs. and my pain threshold is usually pretty solid. But I could renew this thing for up to 3 months and take anywhere from 1 to 2 every 4 to 6 hours. Now, if you look up oxycodone, you're going to find that the first thing it says is that it has a very, very high predilection for abuse and addiction, and it can lead to overdose and death. You know, oxycodone can cause severe fatal problems. Well, that's called breathing. You can't breathe anymore, and ultimately can shut down the cardiovascular system. And if you happen to have any other medications that it reacts to, there's a problem. There was a member of my family who had a surgical procedure, and this person was given enough opioid to go 4 to 5 to 6 months, and they called him and asked him if he wanted more after 60 days and hadn't used any. It's a problem. I don't understand what the mindset is and why we're getting into this picture, but we're going to explore that today, and I want you to know the facts, and we're going to start that in a minute. I want you to know you can get a hold of me at 888-630-9625. Just give me a call, and we'll talk about something that may be happening to you. If you'd like to send me a message when I'm not here, simply go to drtomrozell.com, and I'll get back to you right away. And all my websites, as you know, are all interlinked, so please reach out as much as we can. So here's the deal. If we start looking at the numbers, it gives us a whole different situation. That means that anybody with a rational mind is going to sit back and say, oh my God, I didn't know that. Death rates due to opioids, due to these illicit drugs, are dramatically rising over the years. So how many people died? Let's roll it back to 2012. And we'll say, how many people died of overdose in 2012? Well, we're talking something in the neighborhood of about 22, 24,000 people. Let's roll it forward now to 2019. Same category, same potential problems, same overdose measurements, right? 70,603 people died in 2019, and the numbers are coming in now for the last couple of years, which have been projected to be much higher because of the lockdown, because of the depression. People are just numbing themselves up. Opioid-involved death rates have increased exponentially over a period of time, at least 5 to 6 to 7% per year. Why? Why is this when they're not necessary? We're going to talk about the things that are substitution. There's three waves of opioid overdoses. Okay. Three waves. And from, 1999 to 2019, the beginning of 2019, we're talking about in excess of 500,000 people dying from opioid involvement. Now, if you do the numbers that I just gave you, is 70,000 and change, and you dramatically increase that over with an increased rate of 5 to 7% a year over a period of the next 10 years, you're talking about over 1 million people are going to die of something that is ridiculous, in my opinion, that shouldn't even be considered. And there are other measures, other things that can be, but we're in an expedient society. People are intolerable of any kind of insensitivity. They want to be numbed up. They want to be knocked down and so forth. And then we go to fentanyl, right? And now we're beginning to be afraid to even pick up a dollar bill that we see lying on the street because some fool has laced it with fentanyl, and if it's so bad, it's so addictive that if we touch it, and God forbid we wipe our hands on our eyes afterwards, you're dead. You're going to die. And these illicit fentanyl patterns are not the only crisis. As I said, we're talking about an opioid overdose, an epidemic that is destroying this country, in my opinion. And we're going to talk about how to fix that as we go through. But, here's the deal. When we know that we're hurting ourselves and we have the ability to respect the body as we should, I've spent my entire career doing that in a natural impact. But now we're at a place where we're setting that aside. So, but what's an opioid, right? Oxycodone, right? Oxycodone is an opioid. Hydrocodone is another one. It's Vicodin. Many of you have taken Vicodin, codeine. Morphine, fentanyl, methadone, and there are a lot of others, and they just keep stacking up. And those are the ones, believe it or not, everything that I just read to you in certain dosages are allowable in prescription form, but They're also extraordinarily addicted. Opioids bind to receptors in the nerves in the brain and the body to reduce pain and suppress your ability to cough, you know, when they're used legitimately. So they suppress, you know, you're that hacking cough. Well, so does things like a homeopathic called Drosera. So if you have this spasmodic cough, there are natural things that you can do with it. There are natural formulas, a little bit of tea, certain moisturizers and so forth that will make things much better. But now we're getting into the natural piece. And this lecture that I'm, you know, kind of embarking on, if you want to call it a lecture, we could be here for a couple hours. And, you know, the other night, by the way, I'm doing a side venture right now. It was a pleasure meeting so many of you that came to our facility for Dr. Coward's presentation on tinnitus. And I had asked several of you, would you like an evening where just ask the doc and I'll do the presentation and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about for as long as you want to talk about it. And it seemed to be. So we're thinking about putting that together for you and we'll let you know if that happens. I just wanted to put that out as a teaser a little bit. But the effects of opioid, what we're talking about right now, are incredible. You know, why do they use them? Well, there's a euphoric effect. That's why the street use is there. There's a numbing effect. There's a hallucinogenic effect. All those things are addictive just from a psychological platform. And then we get into fentanyl as, you know, as an opioid. It's so potent. It's effectively 50 to over 100 times more potent than heroin is. Not just a normal thing, but, and we know that opioids lead to heroin addiction. The next thing is the lacing of fentanyl, and we know people are dying and our children are dying, and, you know, it's just destroying society across the board. So as we discuss this opioid epidemic and what it really means over the rest of the show, please call me at 888-630-9625. I have the facts. I have some very interesting articles, not only from the Justice Department, but from PubMed, and from the CDC. This is not me making up these things. I am definitely not on an opioid trip right now giving you all this. What I'm saying to you is that we have to do something about it. We have to do something about it now, or we don't have to worry about the rest of this nonsense that's taking place, because the addiction rate is exponentially gaining momentum to the place where it's going to destroy people. I mean, people are going into respiratory failure and cardiac failure and coma and death. Those are all part of this presentation. You know, the mental confusions that people have, even at low dosages, they can't think, they can't recall, they can't walk through a process. Maybe that's part of the dumbing down of America. I don't know. This is my hallucination thinking about why we are in such a really lousy place. Have we lost our direction so badly that we can't appreciate what we do to ourselves and perhaps what other people are doing to us? I just, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. We have to make some changes, and we have to do them yesterday. As we go through the program today, I'm happy to help you in any way that I possibly can, but please pay attention. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We're talking about something that is timely and important, impactful. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We're talking about something that I think needs to have a spotlight turned on and one that we need to really get serious about. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm not talking about monkeypox. I'm not talking about any of those stupid things that your body, if it was in great shape, could handle on its own, my opinion. However, we are talking about an epidemic that is the third leading cause of death in the United States, and we're talking about opioid addiction, the third leading cause of death when combined. And these are prescription and street as well. This is, we're not talking about, you know, just going, you know, the corner and getting some marijuana that has to be, it happens to be laced with fentanyl. We're talking about a combination of drugs from things like oxycodone, all the way through to heroin, to, you know, the fentanyls that are lacing all kinds of things that obviously are not prescription drugs, to the heroines and so forth. You know, overdose deaths involving heroin going back 6 years ago, 13,165. And if you move that forward, more than 68% of overdose deaths involving heroin also involved the synthetic opioids other than methadone, you know, primarily fentanyl, right? And this is a 2 year ago reporting. They're kind of slow in the uptake right now simply because, you know, everything's been focused on a virus. But overdose death rates, if you want to go into National Institute of Health, drug abuse, NIDA is how you find it. National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA. And the information there is amazing. You're going to find that they're going to, you know, put a lot of strings together. But if you don't look for it, it's not going to be recorded. An increase in deaths from prescription opioid overdoses since the early 1990s have increased exponentially, particularly with heroin. People are taking that big jump. And then from heroin, they're going to try to find something that's even more addictive to that. And that's what's really taking place. So we have to be aware that this is really going on. And then with the depression and the anxiety and all that that's taking place because of the COVID lockdown, we're seeing much more of this as well. But start doing your own homework. Start doing your own research. Remember, I've said over the years, don't take anything that I say or at anybody else puts out to you as gospel unless you verify it and you do your own work. So how do you do that? You go to things like PubMed, you go to NIH, you go to they're sitting there at levels that are crazy. But we're going to come back and we're going to go over this in a much more direct, much more specific pattern. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. I've got so much more to tell you on this. You know, from ER visits that are over the top. We'll see you within a very short period of time. Because of this information, you need to understand that you have control, that nobody else is going to control it for you. You know, did you know that there are 90 babies that are born on an ongoing basis? That's the average on a quarterly basis that are addicted to some form of drug like this, some form of narcotic. And then from these 500,000 opioid prescriptions that I told you about, then they go into the non-medical use of addiction. And that's where we get into the heroin. That's where we get into the fentanyl. We get 3,300 visits into the ER on an ongoing basis. You know, 2,000 overdoses are reported on a quarterly basis. There's 295 people that die, you know, that they're reporting on a quarterly basis. And that's just in one area. We're going to break these things down. I just want to get your attention a little bit right now. I want you to understand that this is not something that we can turn our heads in the opposite direction of. You know, the United States of America, this old country of ours, right, consumes 90% of the world's opioids. I mean, I thought we were the most educated and that we were the most financially solid of all, but what seems to be we're the most common sense stupid when it comes to utilizing or abusing drugs. So it begs the question, how did we get to that place? How did we know? We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. I'll be right back after some very important message and we're getting the meat of this stuff.
Dr. Tom Rizzo Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live in a very controversial program. Controversial, not that there's two sides of the opinion. Controversial in that it's like, oh my God, I didn't know that. But it's one that we need to know about. It's another one of those situations where I think my idea, my thought process is that the numbers that we're talking about are basically somewhat manipulated because we don't want to show our hand as badly as it really is, just like we didn't want to show our hands relative to coronavirus. You know, we said that 1 million people died or whatever it was, but a lot of people died of COVID that had a positive antibody, but they died of something else. They died of cancer. They died of heart disease. They died of a car accident and happened to have a positive antibody. They didn't die of the virus. They died of something else. But here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the opioid crisis in the United States. And we said that the United States of America is the number one abuser of opioids in the world. The U.S. consumes 90% of the world's opioids. How can that be possible when we think that we're the smartest and the financially most sound people on the planet? There's something wrong, my friends, and that something wrong goes to the heart of who we are on a psychological and, as far as I'm concerned, an ethical basis. The U.S. has the highest drug overdose rate in the world of all drugs, not just opioids, but we have the highest. You know, are we so weak as human beings that we have to depend on artificial stimulation to get us to do what we need to get done? You know, we just had a family member that passed away, a very educationally intelligent human being. And when he passed away in his late 70s, he was on 20 different medications. How is that possible? You know, each medication has a side effect that produces the need for something else in an altering form biochemically. I don't get it. Opioids are the leading cause of death in America. Number one cause of death in America for people under the age of 50. What are we doing to our treasures, our children, our youth? And it's getting younger and younger. Our kids are picking it up in school, in as early down as grade school, using hallucinogenics and then moving into things that are stronger. You know, 80% of heroin addicts get their start with a prescription opioid because then they go into that next step. And the number one diagnosis that leads to an opioid prescription of any kind, guess what it is? It's called back pain. That I've spent a lot of my career, 45 years, looking at. And when I know that there's so much that can be done very rapidly, very quickly to get people back to normal, but it also includes a mindset, a change in how we look at things. Opioids are destructive and they're destroying our country. There's no reason that we should be on that. And when I say when you go in for a tooth extraction and they give you oxycodone, why? Or they give you something else, or they give you an injection. Why are they taking that risk? Why don't we try the least and the lowest common denominator first? You know, a little Tylenol, a little bit of an anti-inflammatory, things that work well that we used to do, and then take a little grit in ourselves and move on. Why are we putting people on morphine so they don't feel anything? It's very difficult at that point to get off of those substances. You know, the facts about opioid overdoses is criminal. If you go into the Department of Health in New York State, of all places, not one of my favorite places that I get information from, but I continue to read and I give people second chances and I look at things. But it looks at there's an article that came out and it talks about opioid poisoning, overdose and prevention. And this measures going back to 2015. And then, just then, it set up, you know, flares. I said, oh my gosh, right? So opioid overdose, in this article, they wanted you to understand it was characterized by breathing rates, which can lead to death. That means that it shut down your capacity to breathe in a very, very low level. And pretty soon you go into hypoxia and brain death and things of that nature. And that usually occurred between 1 and 3 hours after injection. Now they're talking about prescription drugs. They're not talking about street drugs. They're talking about prescription drugs. The use of opioids without other types of conditions increases the risk of death due to overdose extraordinarily. Now you can take it by tablets, you can take it by inhale, you can do it by patch, you can inject this stuff. There's a whole lot of different ways of entering into your body. But the question becomes, why? Why are we doing it? Why do we have a medical ideology right now that says we've got to numb people up? I don't understand. I don't get this. The impact is exponentially significant, and yet we're ignoring it. Every once in a while, you see the banners up there and the advertising and so forth. But in fact, what are we doing? We're still writing the prescriptions. We're still giving people, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 refills when there's no need for more than maybe 1 or 2 immediately after the procedure, if at all. And why don't we use something else to begin with? give me a call at 888-630-9625. I'll talk on either side of the subject. We can have a little conversation if you'd like to. But the impact is significant. We said that, the number one reason why physicians write these types of prescription is for back pain. And I said, here I am. You know, I'm a natural healthcare provider. I'm a chiropractor. I'm an acupuncturist. I do functional human nutrition. We look at things in an integrative manner. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, what can be done. Well, let me tell you what can be done. In 45 years of practice, what I found, and what the government, by the way, now is reporting exponentially, is that non-pharmacological approaches to pain management, meaning things like acupuncture, like chiropractic manipulation, and specifically talking about chiropractic utilization, has a tremendous impact on getting people off of medications. Matter of fact, there are chiropractors now that are working in these facilities where they're trying to get people, you know, to withdraw from some of these very dangerous and ugly drugs. So if that's available and it's one of the least expensive approaches, why aren't we using it? Well, it goes back to politics again. You know, back in 1975, the American Medical Association tried to exponentially suppress chiropractic as a profession to the point where they would not allow doctors to have hospital rights and privileges if they even socially associated with a chiropractor. We were the pariah. We were, you know, talk about, you know, racism. Well, we didn't have to have a race. We just had to have a profession. And so subsequently, you know, there was a lawsuit, and it was started by a guy by the name of Dr. Chester Wilk, and it brought in a lot of people. And then finally, I'm giving you the synopsis of a federal court judge by the name of Susan Gastanner, found in favor of this chiropractic initiative, and it was a cease and desist. And it's, I could go on for 3 hours on this one thing. But here's what we have. We have a political movement, and I don't think it's a medical profession, because there's way too many good guys out there that are friends of mine and really understand it and are working very hard, you know, to put this into a place where either it's used far more judiciously, or it's made illegal one way or the other, because they know that with manual work, with acupuncture, with nutrition, with lifestyle modifications, and that's where we're going to get into the headspace of why all these things come about. But here was the conclusion of the study that you can look up, by the way, and the study can be found on PubMed.gov, and look under pain medication 2020, December 25th, and you'll find this article. The article reads, Impact of Chiropractic Care on the Use of Prescription Opioids in Patients with Back Pain or Spinal Pain. And the conclusion was that patients with spinal pain who saw a chiropractor had half the risk of filling an opioid prescription. 50%. That's huge. That's amazing. Among those who saw a chiropractor within 30 days of diagnosis, reduction in risk was greater as compared with those with the first visit and after the acute phase. So it's like if you got to a chiropractor quickly, you know, you wouldn't even worry about getting on any kind of drug because your pain pattern would be handled very significantly. This was a very slam dunk article. And again, it can be found in National Library of Medicine, NIH, PubMed.gov. And it's called Impact of Chiropractic Care and the Use of Prescription Opioids in Patients with Spinal Pain. PainMeds.2020, December 25. And it's right there. If you have trouble finding it, I'll tell you where to go look. But there's things like that across the board. If you continue the research, you're going to see article after article relative to comparison of medication to conservative treatment, particularly when it comes to spinal pain, any kind of spinal pain. And by the way, just as an add-on, an addendum, you know, those of you that are contemplating surgery for low back problems. Here's the deal. 50% of all low back surgeries fail within 5 years. Let me say that again. 50% of all low back surgeries fail within 5 years. So what happens? You know, you're on medications, right? And then you're on more addictive medications. So what the program's all about today is to try to get you to be aware, if you will, of what's really taking place in our society, that we don't take the time to figure things out. We don't look at the patient relative to what's really going on. We don't ask the question, why is that? And then try to work our way through it. We're so dependent on quick fixes. You know, opioids were involved in 68,630 overdose deaths up into 2020. Now, that's increasing. So we talked about, you know, before. So if we even look at a 5% increase on that number, make it an even 70,000, you know, we're talking about an increase of 3,500 compounded and continued. We're going to be up to 100,000 deaths just due to that within a very short period of time. There's something wrong here. You know, within another 8 years, 7 years, we're going to have 1 million deaths accumulative that are going to be due to drugs. Is that okay with you? It's not okay with me. That's why I continue to do what I do, to help as many people as I can, to show them that there are other ways of handling this craziness, this addiction, this abuse, this epidemic, if you will, take it even besides a pandemic, because it's a psychological and biochemical epidemic. You know, since 2000, the annual number of drug overdose deaths have quadrupled, you know, since 2000, right? From 17,000 people up to over 70,000 in 2017. That's craziness. You know, most of the deaths that are involved, you know, the opioids we're talking about, and including heroin and other prescription painkillers and synthetic opioids that we talked about, like fentanyl. And the other day I was with one of my grandchildren, and there was some paper money on the street, and I went to pick it up, and they started yelling at me and said, "Grandpa, you can't pick that up." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because of fentanyl." I said, "I got it." I said, "But we're going to wash this up, and I'm going to wash my hands, and we're going to clean this up. And you can get it just through the skin." Well, fortunately, my grandchildren are very educated. They understand what the situation is, and my children have scared them and put them into a place. But how many of us are foolish enough not to recognize what's really happening around us? You know, and that's the thing, is it's a societal problem. It's not just something that's, you know, is confined to one part of society. It's not the lower class, but the United States itself is, again, the number one abuser of narcotics in the world. They are more addicted than anybody else on the planet. Why? What's happening? We have a country that's out of control, in my opinion. But if we don't do something and realize the human body has the capacity to resolve virtually anything that takes place, why is it? Why is it that we don't pay attention to the things that we need to pay attention to? I don't understand. And it's, you know, 45 years of practice and lecturing all over the world and educating doctors on integrative therapeutics. We have a society that is being controlled and brought down a very ugly path to the place where we're all addicted to something. And I could extend that, you know, to a lot of other things that are taking place, but we're going to stick to opioids today and let you know that we have to do something about it as a group. But getting back to the Department of Justice, if you just go into the cold, hard truth, you know, about all of this, is that at least 78 people will die from opioid-related overdose, you know, according to public health reports. And the truth of it is, it's far greater than that, because these statistics now go back to 2014. So if we exponentially bring it forward, we know that we have thousands and thousands of people that are succumbing to the use of narcotics. Fentanyl, an illegal drug, it is 80 to 100 times more powerful than morphine. It numbs you. That's why it's being used. That's why they put it in marijuana. But at some point, it shuts down your body's natural capacity to stay alive. respiratory rates, heart rate, and so forth, and you die. It's that simple. So don't believe me. Get online. Start doing some of the homework yourself. Start understanding that there's other ways of handling this, and it's up to you to protect not only yourself but your family, particularly when we know that 50% of all these deaths are young people, people who are under 50 years of age. We have to step up. We have to take responsibility. We're coming up to break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. When we come back, I'm going to wrap this up for you so you can utilize it. Don't go away.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Thank you very much for being faithful. We appreciate it. And make sure that you let everybody know that we're here. And if you need to find me when I'm not here, it's real simple. Go to drtomrozelle.com. It's drtomrozelle.com. And send me a note. I'll get back to you. I promise you. Want to reach out to our men and women in service. And again, thank you for all that you do. And be assured, anytime that you reach out, I will get back to you with whatever data that you need to have. We're talking about a very serious situation, opioid addiction today, and it's one that we could talk about for a lengthy period of time, probably hours, and start nitpicking. But I want you to know it's the number one cause of death of people under the age of 50, and we're seeing more and more death rates, and it's climbing and starting to affect every piece. Our children are at risk. Our society, our future as a country is at risk, in my opinion. Let's go to the phones. Helen, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Yes, Dr. Rozelle, I listen to you about every Sunday, and I just wanted to know, what kind of effect would it cause you when you're taking a medication that causes your feet to swell and your legs to swell?
Well, that's got to. What do you know? What medication you're taking?
Yeah, amlopine.
Okay,
A-M-L-I-P-O-N-E, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that it's not allowing the circulation to come back into the upper part of your body. So it's affecting your cardiovascular system. So how you distinguish, and this is something that everybody should know about, how you distinguish the whether it's affecting your heart or whether it's your kidney, is if you take your finger and you push into the swelling, into the ankle or to the foot, and you leave a pit, you leave a little hole there. It means it doesn't come back up as fast. That's called pitting edema. P-I-T-T-I-N-G, pitting edema. And that usually has to do with the cardiovascular system. And then there's other distinguishing factors. But that's telling me, if that's taking place, that's telling me that your heart is being affected by that medication, and you need to really get to somebody who knows what they're doing to try to have it. Many of your medications, your cardiovascular medications, your diuretics, things that treat congestive heart failure, is one of the medication you're taking does that. Unfortunately, the side effects are the depletion of certain minerals within the body. They imbalance them. Things like sodium and magnesium and potassium and so forth, the levels aren't as normal. There's other things called L-citrulline, which also has to do with cardiac function, that will dysregulate as well. It's very difficult, but what I would say to you, if you're having those types of symptoms, you need to get to your doc and say, hey, listen, you know, is there something else that I can use? Or the better question for somebody like me is, you know, what can I do other than straight up medication? I don't know your health history. I don't know all the other pieces of the puzzle. I don't know what your blood pressure is. So I can't tell you take this and not worry about it, because that's, you know, that would be as egregious as anything else that is the wrong medication for you. But it can be done. There are many patients that come in and, you know, they're on statins, and then they're on aspirin, and they're on, calcium channel blockers and things like that. And all of a sudden they have all types of swelling when there might be a better way to get it done. And in my experience over 45 years, there's generally usually always another option. Sometimes it's the nervous system that's not working the way it's supposed to. And if you can turn that nervous system back on or get the energy back up into the body, you can begin to alter that. I appreciate your call. And, you know, send me a note and maybe I can get a little bit more specific. Just go to drtomrozelle.com. Remind me of the question that we just talked about, and I'll see what I can do for you. When we're talking about opioids, please understand we only have about a minute left, and that don't stay stuck. Do something about it, because the chances are that can cost you your life. That's how serious this thing is. We're in a crisis, and when conservative measures of chiropractic manipulation, acupuncture, nutrition, laser can make a profound difference in how your body works, there's so much that's happening in our society today that is going to have a negative impact on what it is that we do and how we do what we do. You need to be aware of it. We have our ongoing in-house, what we call our continuing education programs, every other week at the Roselle Center for Healing. Make yourself available to those things. Go online and read our information. Listen to our program. Ask me questions. We're here to serve you. And remember, we do this and continue to do this for one reason only. We love you all. See you next week. Bye.